Thank you, Jerry and Joe, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow night. And, yeah, it is definitely not going to be easy tomorrow night. Chris Sale, one of the best in the business. R.A. Dickey is going to have to be a very different R.A. Dickey than we've seen through the first four starts this season. Phone lines are open. Let's get right to them. We're doing Blue Jays Talk at the top of the hour. We begin with Mark in Caledonia. Mark?
Mike, you said just prior, before Jerry was talking there, that this is a game the Blue Jays should have won.
Yeah, you lead by four runs going into the seventh inning, you should win.
Right, and that brings up my next point. How can any Jays fan think that this is a game you should win when that bullpen is just very, very leaky and shaky at best? I mean, it's one of the worst pens out there right now.
It's actually not.
Oh, but the stats, what is it, inherited runners? How many inherited runners?
Yeah, the inherited runners, it's kind of terrible. It's true. They're allowing half of them to score. But this is a mid-pack bullpen for the Blue Jays.
That's not a bullpen doing the job.
Yeah, Mark, I know that you like to be angry at the Blue Jays, and you like to talk. This is the first time I've heard from you this year. I'm surprised.
Well,
but,
Mike, I called.
Look, the fact of the matter is, this is not a bullpen that you should expect to give up four runs in three innings. No matter how you want to paint it, no matter how terrible you think it is, no matter how poorly they're thinking, you think they're pitching, this is not a group that you should expect to give up four runs in three innings, period. Thank you. Appreciate the call. Jay is in North York. Jay, you're next on Blue Jays Talk.
Oh, hey, Mike. I wanted to talk about the pitch to Todd Frazier that went to the wall. Floyd is warming up, and they're saying, oh, Floyd is a starting pitcher, so he's got four good pitchers. He could really mix it up well. We all know that. So he throws him a fastball, real good first pitch, high and in. Gets him swinging. Wonderful. It's a beautiful setup pitch, and I don't play professional baseball, obviously, neither do you, but we know that sets up something off speed, generally speaking, something low and away. What does he do? Obviously, the fastball wasn't intended to be in the middle of the plate, but that's what he did. He threw a fastball in the middle of the plate, and Frazier hammers it. Frazier is a good, excellent fastball hitter. It makes no sense to me why a guy like Floyd, who's a starting pitcher, who has four good pitches that he could control, after getting a fastball high and in, throws another one. I don't know if it's Tolley's play calling. I don't know if it's Floyd's agreeing with the pitch. I don't know if it's strategy that they discussed. I'm not really sure. It's stupid. It's dumb. And under my breath, I was saying, don't throw him another fastball. This is Todd Frazier. Don't throw him another fastball. Kaboom. He did it. Jays lose.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You believe that that first pitch fastball sets up a little slider down and away to get ahead 0-2, right?
I do.
Do you think Todd Frazier might think that too?
Irrelevant. You don't hit a low and away.
Why is that irrelevant?
Because there's certain things about baseball pitching, and there's no written rules. It's all strategic stuff.
Right.
But when you get a first ball fastball strike, 0-1, generally speaking, you want to go soft. You want to
go
away.
I don't think that's true. And I think I think there are a lot of different ways to skin a cat, as it were. And I appreciate the call. I want to get through a lot of people tonight and not a lot of time. I think that if you throw a first pitch fastball and the guy misses it, it's probably not a bad idea to throw another one. And if he's thinking, all right, well, he's ahead of me 0-1, now he's going to come off speed, now I'm set up, then maybe, he's thinking along too, right? And there's another one of those other rules about pitching is that you don't get beat by less than your best. In a situation like that, Todd Frazier at the plate with the bases loaded and you're still up by one, right? You don't want to get beat by a hanging slider that he's going to hit out of the ballpark. He missed your fastball. Throw him another one until he shows you he can hit it. He did. Todd Frazier wins that round. Blue Jays lose it 7-5 to the Chicago White Sox. We will continue to take your calls. It is Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Here's the 0-2 pitch. Ground ball chopped out to the right side. Tough play taken by Laurie, and the ball hit the runner. Troy Tulowitzki is out. The game is over. Give Michael Saunders a base hit, but the game ends 7-5 Chicago as the ground ball hit Tulowitzki running to second base.
We have seen Blue Jays games end this year on a passed ball. We have seen Blue Jays games end this year on the Chase Utley rule. And now we have seen a Blue Jays game end on a ground ball that hits a base runner going from first to second. It did look like the ball kind of checked up right, and Troy Tulowitzki was caught in between. There was really nothing he could do. If he waits back and lets Brett Laurie play that ball,
He's out, game over. Either Lori flips it to second or he tags him. So he had to try to get to second base because Saunders probably beats that thing out. And the ball kind of checked up. I don't know if it hit the lip or if it was the dirt. Hits Tulowitzki, and the Blue Jays are really running through the list of insane ways to lose games. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Back to the phones we go. Jason is in Vancouver.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
All right, thanks.
Hey, I had a quick question for you. I know you went pretty in-depth with the previous caller about that at-bat with Todd Frazier and Gavin Floyd. How come at that point Drew Storen wasn't brought in there?
You know, that's not an unreasonable question. Although Storen has not been outstanding this year, though neither has Brett Cecil, and he was in there.
Right.
You know, that's a situation where you might want to see Drew Storen. I don't mind Floyd. Floyd has been pitching really, really well for them. But, yeah, that's a fair question.
Right, because, I mean, that was one of our biggest acquisitions in the summer. In the spring was to bring him in.
And be
that shutdown guy was Cecil. So, I mean, it's kind of odd that, you know, Gibby hasn't done that this year.
He has brought Storen in the seventh inning a couple of times. I don't know. And maybe John Gibbons was asked that post-game. I'm not sure.
Right. And the last thing, I noticed whenever Stroman leaves a game, he always leaves a lot of runners on. Do you know what the stat is as far as the runners coming in based off the reliever that came in for him?
Yeah, I don't know that he always leaves a lot of runners on. This was his fifth start of the season. He did leave the bases loaded in the game against the Red Sox, and Jesse Chavez gave up the grand slam. Today he left with the bases loaded and all the runners scored. He left opening day with a runner on, and that runner scored.
Right.
So a lot of the inherited runners that he leaves on, it appears, have come around to score. I'm missing two more starts.
Right, and that's important because it adds to his ERA. That's why he has high ERA, right?
But he put the guys on base.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Right? It's just as much. Well, it's not just as much. But if you don't leave them on base, they can't score, right?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. Thank you for the call, Jason. Let's listen to a little bit of John Gibbons. We got a couple of minutes. Here's what Gibby had to say in the wake of tonight's 7-5 loss to Chicago.
How's Stroman's arm, I guess, is the main question.
How's his arm? Yeah, I mean, he got hit back here. You know, his non-throwing arm. I think he's okay. I mean, he's sore, but I don't think there's any damage.
I know it's still fresh, John, but do you have any reconsideration to going to Cecil in those high-leverage moments at this point?
No, I don't. You know, actually, he's been throwing pretty solid lately. You know, he got a slow start, and he's been getting better. You know what? I mean, he got a couple lefties, or lefties and a switch hitter. I mean, that's really what he does. That's his inning there. And, I mean, we're going to need him. I mean, let's be honest. It's so early in the year. You know, you got to get him to get sharp, you know. I mean, he needs to find it. You know, Eaton hit that one breaking ball, did a good job. And, you know, then try to sneak a fastball by Rollins. You know, with two strikes, he wasn't able to bury it. That's what he does with.
Yeah, that's what you're used to, Cecil, with that bury that two-strike pitch. And that's what's not right about him quite yet this April. It's interesting. He's put up exactly the same numbers this April, basically, as he put up last April and the April before. Sometimes you got to live with a slow start to get to the good stuff that comes afterwards. And without Brett Cecil, the Blue Jays do not win the American League East last season. So here's hoping the good stuff is coming. Time for one more call. Kyle is in Napanee. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, how are you, Mike? Always a pleasure.
Good. You got a minute.
My one question is, left-handed pitchers usually come into their own around 30. I'm glad that Gibbons keeps going with Cecil, but what's his problem? Like, is he injured, or what's your thoughts on it?
Well, first of all, I don't know if I agree with your thesis statement about lefties coming into their own at 30. I think everybody's different, and it's true that there appear to be more late-blooming lefties than there are late-blooming righties, but there are a lot of lefties who are very good in their mid
mid-20s too. I don't know what's wrong with him. I don't know if anything's wrong with him. I think that, you know, we have completely ignored the fact that this guy had a completely torn calf muscle last October.
Yeah, exactly, right.
You know, maybe that's not all better. But if it's not all better, then Brett Cecil shouldn't be out there in high-leverage situations until it is all better. So we have to assume that he's not, if it's hurting him, he's not telling anybody, or it's not hurting him, which means something else is wrong. And, you know, maybe the something else that's wrong is that he's been a slow starter. He's had some issues in April. And another thing is that he's pitched 8 2/3 innings. So far
this year. I totally agree with that. But, I mean, he had problems right at the start. And usually when he's having problems at the start of the season, his velocity's down.
Yeah, and it's down about a mile an hour, not the 2, 3, 4 miles an hour
exactly.
that we've seen it before. Yeah.
So I would assume injury. I hope not, but that would be my guess. I just wanted yours. Thanks, Mike.
I don't know that I would assume injury. I think that's a little much. Guys are entitled to get knocked around every once in a while. Very rare is the pitcher who is just clean from beginning to end. It almost never happens. I appreciate the call, Kyle. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Short show, long game, short show. That's kind of the way things work around here. It's too bad because this was one of the craziest Blue Jays games of the season. A 5-1 lead going into the seventh inning. Marcus Stroman gets hit by that comebacker by Deonner Navarro and then walks Austin Jackson, the nine-hitter, hitting 180. Walks him on four pitches to load the bases. That was Stroman's opportunity to get out of this ball game and pitch seven innings. And he couldn't throw a strike to the nine-hitter. So he's gone. Brett Cecil comes in, and then unfortunately things completely unravel from that point. And then Troy Tulowitzki gets hit by a batted ball on the way to second base to end the game. Jays lose 7-5 to fall back under 500. They are 10-11, and we will come back and wrap things up. Get you set for tomorrow. It is the post game on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Well, that's going to do it for us here. At Rogers Center, Blue Jays had a 5-1 lead going into the seventh inning. And with two out, the Chicago White Sox score four runs. Brett Cecil gives up a two-run single to Adam Eaton, then an RBI single to Jimmy Rollins, then walks Jose Abreu, and Gavin Floyd comes on to give up the two-run double to Todd Frazier. The Blue Jays bullpen has five blown saves already this season, and Brett Cecil is 0-4. And then, instead of the Blue Jays having the bases loaded and two out in the bottom of the ninth, Troy Tulowitzki runs into Michael Saunders' ground ball, or high chopper, takes a weird bounce. But an out's an out's an out, and the Blue Jays lose it 7-5 to the White Sox. We're back at 7 o'clock tomorrow, Eastern Time, R.A. Dickey against Chris Sale, as the Jays will once again try to get back to 500. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. The legal disclaimers brought to you by Diamond & Diamond Personal Injury Lawyers. If you've been injured in an accident, you need the right team of lawyers on your side. Lawyers who are not afraid of the big insurance companies. Call the team with a proven track record. Call Diamond & Diamond Personal Injury Lawyers today for a free consultation at 1-800-567-HURT or visit diamondlaw.ca. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Ryan Clark, Josh Goldberg, I'm Mike Wilner. Bye-bye from Rogers Center.